Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. John chapter 11, would you open your Bibles with me? I'm going to read you the strangest 4th of July portion of Scripture you ever heard. The resurrection of Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" And Jesus answered, he says some stuff. Let's go down to verse 12, okay? His disciples replied, "Lord, if Lazarus sleeps, he'll get better." And Jesus had been speaking of his death when he said that he was asleep, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." And Thomas, called Didymus, the doubter, right? Thomas, the one who always seemed to say the right thing at just the right moment, said, "Mr. Positive." That last couple sentences were mine. They weren't in the Bible. Okay, but "let us also go that we may die with him." Okay, Mr. Positive, I just always smile at him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Do you see some anger there? "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher's here," she said. "He's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still in a place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. And he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," Martha said, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days." And Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes. Let him go. What a great, incredible story from the life of Jesus. And you said July the 4th? Yep. Let me tell you why. I'm tired of my Christian friends telling me America's over, that it's done. We serve the living God, who is the God of the miraculous. The God who told Abraham at 100 years old he was going to have a child. And when Sarah heard it inside the tent, she cracked up. She probably said, what are they smoking out there? You know, something like that. Do you have any idea? Come on. And yet, 9 months from then, she had a baby. This is the God who stood with the Jewish people at the Red Sea, and they were as good as dead as the greatest army in the world pursued them. And God said to Moses, hold your stick up over the Red Sea. And it parted, and those 3 million people passed on dry ground. And then God drowned the Egyptian army, who were bold enough to chase them into the sea. This is the God that we serve. This is the God of the supernatural. This is the God who can turn any situation. So I want to say something to us today as American citizens who are believers in Jesus Christ. Today is the day we start standing up. We are all called. Thanks. Thank you very much. I want to talk to you about three specific things. The call that all of us have on our lives, the conduct that we're called to, and the cost that we're called to. It's simple, just a few minutes. I just want to say this to you. I need to. I was going to do something else this morning, and I scratched this down before breakfast. And I just feel really strongly about this. We are called as a nation to stand up for this world. We are called. My friends from around the world, missionaries from everywhere, they're calling me. My brother in Europe, they're all saying, what are you guys doing over there? China is arming themselves to take over the world with their regime. And we got people debating over what gender they are. The confusion is unbelievable in this world. They're looking to us. The world needs this country. The billions of people around the world, I'll tell you, the majority of them look to us. We are the example of liberty that they can't even really imagine. Do you remember those Russian kids that came just after the Soviet Union fell? And Lorinda Douglas and her family brought those kids here? They could not believe what they saw. I said, what's your favorite thing about America? They said, Myers. They couldn't believe it. Raul Libres from Haiti, my friend. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Remember that? He said that every time he got up to preach. He said his favorite thing was Kentucky Fried Chicken. He can't believe you just get food when you want it. Anything you want. They're absolutely amazed at the abundance, but they know that it came from the freedom that we have as Americans. This liberty is the standard for the world. They all look to us. You'll see new fresh paint in the building here this week. Louis and his crew were here. Louis and his crew were here painting away. Great guys. They came from an Eastern European communist country. Louis said that he hid during the day and ran at night till he crossed the border. He said when he arrived in America, his whole life changed. These guys come in and paint. they thank God for the freedom of America. And he says, my people back home long to live in this. They look to us and they marvel at it. They need us. We are called to hold on to this liberty and freedom at all cost, because the world needs us. Without America, the world is done. We have to understand, it's bigger than us. It's about the destiny of the entire world right now. And I just want to say, I'm tired of people hating America. I've had a lot of flaws. But we have continued to develop a more perfect nation. It seems all we can talk about is slavery now. If I remembered what right, 500,000 white boys died to free their black brothers and sisters. Well, at least 250,000 of them did, I'll put it that way. They shed their blood. We should rejoice in that and be thankful for that. President Lincoln said profoundly that he believed the deaths that were caused during the Civil War were actually an atonement for our sin of slavery. That was dealt with, you guys. Don't let anybody use that on you. Let me say to you, Black Lives Matter is an evil organization that is, all it does is entrap more of our black brothers and sisters into a victimhood. They don't care about African American people. They care about their own organization. You saw the leader of that group that bought all the million-dollar houses a couple of months ago. Yeah, it's sure about the people, isn't it? Listen, when I drive by a church that has a Black Lives Matter flag flying out front, I want to get out of the car and take it down for them. Because either you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you go ahead and support every evil thing that's out there. It's not cool. And I'm telling you, you know what my black friends are telling me? Tommy, preach that. Tell your church the truth about this. They're fighting with everything they have. It's our time to realize that we're called to this, my brothers and sisters. So all of them are asking, what's going on with you guys? We're called. We're called to be an example continually to the world, but we're called also, as American citizens, to stand up to the tyranny that's happening in our nation now, where there is a ruling class that think they get to think and run the country for everybody else. We are the government. The American people elect representatives to represent them. They are not our kings. We have to stand up. We have to fight against this tyranny. The God who 1,500 years before Christ parted the Red Sea. Do you understand that this same God is not inside of time? So the God 3,500 years ago that parted the Red Sea, in the same moment of his existence, is here today in America. The same Jesus who called a stone cold, wrapped up in grave cloth, dead guy out of the grave. That same Jesus, in the same moment of his life, the eternal, infinite one, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the one who called the dead man out of the grave, he's here. And he's calling us to tell the truth. Now listen, I know it's not convenient. I know your friends don't like it. I'm not talking about being some jerk for Jesus, but I am talking about standing up. Critical race theory has just been pushed forward by the greatest teachers union. Okay? It is a series of historical lies. The indoctrination of our children have gone on. I'm just going to say this out loud. Is it time for us to pull our kids out of public schools and not allow them to be indoctrinated anymore? My friends, where's the line in all of this? Do I love those guys on the other side of that line with all my heart? But do I have to agree with them? No, I don't. We're called to stand up. Do you remember a synagogue ruler came to Jesus? My daughter's about to die. Please come to my house. And when Jesus finally got there, that they were already singing the dearth songs, the little girl had died. And Jesus said, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. And the verse in the old King James, I love it, says, and they laughed him to scorn. What you believe, some people are going to laugh to scorn. You know what? Say it anyhow. Love them. Be their friend. They might not want to be yours, but love them. We have been bullied into a corner as believers. They want to make us to be ashamed of what we believe and think. But this is a free nation of free thinkers. I want to say this too. We don't want a theocracy here. I mean, yes, we were a Christian nation. We were founded on Christian principles, absolutely. But we want anybody's faith, the Muslim, the Jew, the faith of atheism. If you're an atheist, you're welcome here. If you're an atheist, you're like welcome here. You're welcome here. This is, and by the way, atheism is a religion, okay? It is a series of, we don't want a theocracy. We want an open society of open sharing of ideas and let those ideas compete against one another in the market. That is a beautiful thing. That's what developed America. Now we're saying you can't talk like that. I mean, my goodness. I got a look. I slipped and said Bruce Jenner to somebody and they gave me the look. I'm not playing the game anymore, you guys. We're all called to stand up for this world and to stand against this tyranny. Do you understand me? All right. I want to tell you, God has done so many things in the past. He has. He has sent awakenings that changed the world. England, in the 1730s, one-third of the women in London were prostitutes. That place was unbelievable. It was unredeemable. And Wesley and Whitfield started preaching. And the society was changed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1934, Charlotte, North Carolina, there's a group of businessmen that are so upset about what's happening with the Depression and their families and what's happening to the moral character of North Carolina. They decide to hold prayer meetings. And they found a grove of trees on a local dairy farm owned by the Graham family, the Graham Brothers Dairy. And there was this paper salesman who decided that he felt moved by the Spirit to pray a certain thing. And he said, "Lord, raise up a servant of Jesus Christ who will take the gospel of Jesus, not just to the good people of Charlotte, North Carolina, but to the entire world." There was a tall, skinny 14-year-old boy in the barn throwing hay down to the cows. And they could hear the racket going off under the oak trees. And one of the farmhands said to the 14-year-old, "Hey, what's all the racket about?" And he goes, "I don't know. Daddy's letting some fanatics use the property." His name was Billy Graham. 6 months after this, Mordecai Ham came to North Carolina in revival meetings. That skinny, gangly little kid with the big hair trusted in Jesus, and the world has never been the same. Lord, do that again. I just want to see that. Okay, I'm going to hurry up now. I've offended half of you. Let me just make sure I offend everybody before we're done. We're called to conduct a certain conduct. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we do not wage war like the world. We are respectful. We are truthful. We don't cheat. We just share ideas. We don't try to use a bunch of political shenanigans. We're not going to do any of that. We're going to do it properly, but we're going to do it. We're going to conduct ourselves in that way. And we're going to conduct ourselves in another way too. You remember the verse everybody quotes on 4th of July. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We're called to a conduct of humility. We can't fix this. You understand that, right? We need Almighty God to fix this. We need the true and living God to empower his people to stand up and tell the truth when everything else is a lie. We're called to do it, to this conduct of realizing, being humble, I can't fix it. But we're also called to something else. You want America to change? Let me ask you a question. Are you sleeping with somebody that isn't your husband or wife? that it's time to repent. Are you cheating in your business? You want America to change? Then we've got to repent as God's people. You want to do your part? Then live a life for Jesus Christ. I know none of us do that perfectly. But we need to realize that we are called. We are called to a conduct. And that conduct is to live a life properly, according to what God says. So it's time to repent. Man, it's getting really, really quiet in here. You see, what happens is this. This is the tendency of all nations. God calls a nation into being because he is the God of nations too. And he blesses those people and they become prosperous and then they forget him. America is a forgotten God. And I want to tell you, the majority of the Christian church has forgotten God. They go on with their form and their system and all the rest of that. But Jesus left the building a long time ago. We're called to live the life. We're called to conduct. One more thing. We're called to pay the cost. Okay, nobody loves America more than I do. I love to wave the flag. I am so bummed that Clarkson isn't having a parade this year because I want to be there. I want to sit out there and watch the band go by and wave the flags and congratulate everyone that we're American citizens and what an incredible nation we live in. The greatest the world has ever seen, bar none. And it is so uncool to be patriotic now. But I love that. But now it's time to make your true patriotism come forth by standing up for the truth. Because America is gone unless we stand up. It's going to cost you some stuff. It's going to cost you your comfort. It's going to be uncomfortable. Second of all, it's going to cost you sometimes your reputation. People hate it nowadays when you think you know something. How dare you be so confident? They call it arrogance because you think you know something that's true. It's going to cost you your reputation. But we just need to stand up, and it's going to cost us time. Okay. The left, the godless left, I'm not talking about liberal politicians, you know, the battle between conservative and liberal always goes on. That's healthy. That's good. There's some good points on both sides. But the leftists have taken 70 years to re-educate and change our nation. Let me tell you something. It's going to take at least that long for us. We're all older people here, most of us. Some of you are just kids, but most of us. What kind of world do you want your grandchildren to have when you're gone? I mean, do you want them to grow up and curse your name for your generation, borrowing bazillions of trillions of dollars for silly programs, usually a nation that's bankrupt, that they have to pay for? Do you want them to have the same freedoms that you had? Do you want them to have the liberty to move and travel and do what you want, my friends? Then we need to stand up, okay? I know this is a hard message. I know we have people here from both sides of the political aisle. I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to talk about truth and the fact that we need to stand up for that truth. So, you know what the old guys did? You know all those old guys they made statues of? The founders, at the end of the Declaration of Independence, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. May God arise. May God change the direction that we're going. May God help us. Let's stand together to pray, my friends. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, this is true. It's time for us. We can't dance around these issues anymore and act like they're just, you know, differences. They're the difference between liberty or tyranny. It's one or the other. So would you help us as your people, first of all, like you, to love this world. I ask that the graciousness of your people will be tripled. And that at the same time, we will, with a backbone, tell the truth, no matter what it costs us. Would you help us? We need your strength and your blessing. Thank you for this fellowship, Lord. May your blessing rest on this. Arise, O Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.